And let's start by singing hymn number 150, the first verse. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son. God manifest, God seen and heard, the heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Sing the first verse of 150. Thou art the In thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's self doth shine, fullness of Godhead to the blessed, eternally divine, image of the infinite unseen, whose being none can know, brightness of light no eye hath seen, God's love revealed below, the higher mysteries of thy fame, the creature's grasp transcend, the Father only thy blessed name of Son can comprehend. Yet loving thee on earth, in let's ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we give thanks for this time we can come together to sing about the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask for help this evening as we consider the subject we have before us. We ask that it might be of benefit and value to all who in the audience. We just commit this time to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I look around the room, I see a great potential for the future of the assembly. You're sitting here in this room, both men, young men and young women. And your assembly needs to have godly young men and women. But for you to endure into the future to be a part of the assembly for years to come, it will be good for you to have an understanding of the unity of the Spirit. And that's my subject for tonight. I just have a few thoughts to share on the unity of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." Let's go back in our minds and think about the day of Pentecost. God, the Spirit of God, formed all believers into one body. And God did this by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God formed one group. He calls the one body. He calls it the one body. And the intention of the Spirit of God on that day was to have all believers together in one fellowship. And so we know that God did not make many denominations or independent fellowships, and there was unity of the Spirit in the one body. All assemblies in all places, they needed to function together as one body. And that is what we try to do when we gather to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with whom? With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So this is not limited to the local assembly meetings. The fellowship includes all assemblies in every place. And there can be no independency when the assembly is gathered together for worship and ministry. Paul tells the Christians in Ephesus, he says, you've got to work hard to keep that unity of the Spirit in the fellowship of the saints. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, there were different opinions in that assembly that could have caused divisions in the church. And let's look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians 1, 11. Somebody was talking to Paul, and it says, "It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." You see, here in this assembly, there was contention, and there was a seed of denominations and division. Right there at the beginning of the church, and the seed of independency there was starting to grow in the church. But Paul asks in verse 13, he says, "Is Christ divided?" Oh, we know the answer is no. Christ is not divided. The Spirit of God put all believers into one fellowship. He put them together into one fellowship. And the same Spirit of God gathers all believers to Christ. And that same Spirit of God leads all believers to speak the same thing and to practice the same thing according, I believe, to the apostles' doctrine. Look at verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Remember, he is not just speaking to the assembly in Corinth. He is speaking to all believers in every place, and that includes you. Paul is speaking to you and to me. "That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Keeping the unity of the Spirit is not having everybody in one group agreeing together. Because they might agree on something that's wrong and something which disagrees with the Word of God. And so that's not the unity we're talking of. The Spirit of God wants us to be together in agreement with the apostles' doctrine that we find in God's Word. And the desire of the Spirit of God is to unite Christians together into one fellowship with all believers in every place that call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God does not want to have autonomous branches of the Christian church that are operating independently from one another. We say that we gather on the ground of one body. And I believe that means that we gather on the basis that God has instituted only one fellowship for believers to gather together. And I believe that is how we try to practice. And the moment that there are two or more groups that are in separate fellowships, the unity that the Spirit of God had formed on the day of Pentecost is dishonored. We cannot break the unity of the Spirit. We either function in it or we don't. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read the first, start at verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Scripture shows us that there is only one fellowship for believers, and we should endeavor to practice according to that truth, to that fact. You know, there are more than 40,000 registered Christian group fellowships that are independent from each other. And some of them meet very similarly to the way that we do. And many of them say that they are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the same as we do. That is not the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God gathers together. He doesn't gather independently. And so, when we think about this, it can all be very confusing to us. Because if there are 40,000 independent fellowship groups, how do you find one fellowship of believers that answers to God's will, that meets the requirements of the unity of the Spirit? You know, if you went to a different group each and every Sunday, to 40,000 individual independent groups, it would, if my math is correct, it would take you approximately, 769 years to find the right place, the right one. And so church hopping is not the answer. If there are two groups that are similar and they seem to say the same things, and they do the same things, and they both say they are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how do we figure out if one of those two fellowships is approved according to the Spirit of God, to the unity of the Spirit? Well, one thing you can do is to look at the history of the group you are considering. And you can look at all the divisions of the church in the history and try to trace out the right one. But you need to be careful, because history can be very biased and very confusing. History is helpful, but I believe that the Spirit of God is the answer. It does not matter where in the world you are. It does not matter to what teaching you have been exposed to. And it doesn't matter if you have been raised in the assembly. It will take prayer. It will take the Word of God. It'll take a step of faith to be guided by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will guide you through the Word of God to find that which is approved of God. If you take a step of faith, the Spirit of God, He'll have liberty to teach you more. And if you learn more, you might need to take another step of faith. I meet with the ones, the Christians that I fellowship with, because I believe this is where the Spirit of God has directed me according to how I understand the Word of God. and how I understand the apostles' doctrine. But I can't prove to you that this fellowship of Christians where the Spirit is, that this fellowship of Christians is where the Spirit of God gathers Christians to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't prove that to you. But I believe it is that which is approved of God. And so I took a step, and I trust that I took that step in faith. And although I believe this to be true, I cannot dictate to you that this is where you should gather with other Christians. It might be true what I'm telling you, but you need to take your own step of faith. The Spirit of God does not gather to a certain place. And He does not gather to a certain doctrine or to a certain principle. The Spirit of God gathers believers to a certain person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the Word of God is very specific as to, when we look in the Apostles' doctrine, it's very specific as to how we should meet together as an assembly in the unity of the Spirit. The early brethren in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued in the Apostles' doctrine. For Christians who are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus today, we also should continue in the Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The Apostles' doctrine is the teaching that they wrote to us in the Scriptures. And for us to have fellowship with the Apostles is to practice their teachings that are written, that we find written in the Word of God. The unity of the Spirit includes believers in every place. And it includes them to be in the same fellowship. And those believers who are gathered in the unity of the Spirit will speak the same fundamental doctrines. And they will agree with Scripture. And they have the same mind as Christ. And they have the same judgment from the Word of God. And they're led by the Spirit of God when they function as an assembly. That's how it should be. And in the unity of the Spirit, assemblies are connected together in one fellowship. And what happens in one assembly affects each and every other assembly that is gathered in that same fellow, in the fellowship. Whatever happens in one assembly is accepted as from the Lord by every other assembly. Let me say that again. And I'm sure you know this because if you're gathered in your assembly and you come here to the camp, we're going to receive you because we're connected with the assembly gathered to the Lord's name in Grand Rapids. And so if we're connected in that way in the same fellowship, we're going to receive you because what has been done in your assembly and has been approved in your assembly, we accept that in our assembly. And it's accepted in every other assembly. And that is why every action or decision made by an assembly gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be carefully done according to the Scriptures. Otherwise, there will be confusion in many assemblies. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. In the last verse, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Not in confusion, but decently and in order. And when issues in an assembly disrupt and confuse other assemblies, there needs to be self-examination by each overseer in the assembly where the issues have been allowed to fester and cause confusion. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 28 and 29. Verse 28, but let the man, we're speaking about an overseer here, let an overseer examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I'm applying this verse to an overseer. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's necessary for us to examine ourselves. And when we find cause of bitterness and we find cause of division and confusion in our hearts, it needs to be judged. So the overseers are directly accountable to God for how they conduct the oversight of the assembly. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. If the oversight honestly reviews their actions and their attitudes, and they find that the confusion is a result of their failure, this needs to be confessed and rectified. Look what it says in James 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I know these verses are written about physically sick individuals, but I'm going to apply it to spiritually sick individuals. Each overseer is an individual who needs to be subject to Christ and His Word. And if an overseer has caused offense to someone, they may need to humble themselves. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and let's go down to verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The function of the oversight needs to be obedient to the Word of God. And remember that the authority of the assembly belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The authority of the assembly does not belong to one or two brothers of the oversight. And as to the rest of us in the assembly, we need to be subject to the actions or the decisions that are made by the assembly, because the Lord Jesus is the authority of the assembly. To reject the authority of the assembly is to reject the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might reason in our minds, oh, that wasn't the assembly. You were just being subject to that one brother, or you're being subject to those brothers. We all have just as much to say as those guys. They are not the assembly. You know, sometimes issues in an assembly are very difficult, and the oversight feels tremendous weight from the responsibility of certain decisions that need to be made and different issues that need to be dealt with. And the overseers, they are recommending to the assembly actions and solutions. And these actions and solutions that they recommend are things that they believe are right according to their understanding of the Word of God. But you know, I am no different from you. When I see things different from the oversight, sometimes my flesh gets active and I'm tempted to talk to others against the capabilities of the oversight. It's not really good. But I must admit that sometimes, I guess it's pride that comes in, and I think that my way is better. But I need to stop and I need to remember that the Spirit of God has worked in the hearts of those brothers who are the overseers. He's worked in their hearts over a period of time to develop them into overseers. And He has given them a care and a concern for the Word of God. And He's given them an understanding of the principles on which we are gathered. And He's given them a desire to maintain order in the house of God and in the sphere of the local assembly. The oversight recommends to the assembly actions that they believe are correct and in agreement with the Word of God. And because the Spirit of God has made them an overseer, they have certain responsibilities in the assembly to which I need to be subject. And when they recommend an action for the assembly, our responsibility as being a part of the assembly, or even being part of another assembly in the same fellowship that is gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're at the Lord's table, and they're gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus. Our responsibility is to obey them that have the oversight and to submit to their judgment and to esteem them very highly and be at peace among yourselves. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I tell you, it's not an easy thing to be an overseer. There's a great responsibility with that. And they have many decisions to make. And it's not always the best decision that other people might think it is, but it might be according to the Word of God. Verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. If we consider ourselves as just being in compliance to some brothers, there will be confusion. God has instituted order in the assembly. And if I am not subject to God's order and authority in the assembly, there's going to be confusion. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And verse 19. Colossians 2, verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. If we reject the requirement of being subject to the authority of the Lord Jesus in the assembly, and we continue on as if an action was just done in the authority of man, and we are not holding the head, this can only lead to rebellion and to railing and to rejection of the oversight. And confusion will be the result because we were not subject to God's order which He has established in the assembly. Again, I will repeat that verse that we had in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Although we may think that things are in confusion, the Lord Jesus is Son over His house, and He knows what is going on. 1 Corinthians 5. I think I got the wrong reference. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so we see that both the oversight and the others in the assembly, we will each need to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we conducted ourselves in a time of confusion in the assembly. There is one body. There is one Spirit. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Whatsoever is bound or loosed on earth is bound or loosed in heaven. The authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of the assembly that is gathered unto His name. Those who function in the unity of the Spirit, they do not practice their worship according to a fellowship that certain men set up, independent, on their own. And neither do they meet independently without the blessing of an already existing assembly. Nothing should be done independently of the assembly or of the oversight, independent of the oversight of an assembly. You don't just start up an assembly according to your own will and desire. You know, I used to work for McDonald's restaurants as a manager, and I learned how everything worked. But I could not go and start up my own restaurant and call it McDonald's, unless I got approval and authorization from the corporate McDonald's. And I had paid the franchise fee. And I followed all the rules and regulations. No business in North America, they have largely subjected themselves to operating by Christian principles. But now in the assembly, we don't have franchise fees and we don't have regulations, nor do we have a corporate headquarters. But we do have God's order. And we find God's order in His Word. And we have the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. A group of Christians, they cannot just decide they're going to start their own assembly without the approval and the fellowship of and the connection with that which the Spirit of God had already established. And this is just a basic principle that we find in Scripture, in God's house. We can find this principle of fellowship among assemblies all through the New Testament Scriptures. And God does not condone any form of independency. In Acts chapter 11, Peter explains how and why he went to eat and fellowship with the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, and how he preached the gospel to them, and how he how God connected them to the fellowship of the body of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. No group of Christians in Scripture started their own assembly independent from the commendation and the fellowship of an apostle or of an assembly that had already been established. A new assembly was always brought into fellowship in the unity of the Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, start at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Down to verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. This group of believers in Samaria was not recognized by the Spirit of God in the unity of the Spirit until they were identified with the Christians that were already established in the fellowship, which began on the day of Pentecost. There needed to be the approval of and the connection with that which God had already established. And I would suggest that Philip was an evangelist. And as such, he did not have the authority of the Lord to start assemblies the way perhaps an apostle or an already established assembly could, where there were two or three gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God with the Lord in their midst. And so, the assembly in Jerusalem, they sent apostles. They sent Peter and John with authority so the Samaritan believers could receive the Holy Spirit. And these Samaritans were recognized by the Holy Spirit of God to be added together to the fellowship that had been established back on that day of Pentecost. And so there was no independency whatsoever. Peter didn't act independent from everybody else. He worked in conjunction with the Spirit of God. And as an apostle, he had the authority there, Peter and John. And so these Christians, these new Christians, they were sanctified in Christ Jesus. And they were called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no authority to assume the name of McDonald's for a personal restaurant. The Samaritans had no authority to assume the name of Lord Jesus Christ as their authority to be in fellowship with those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There needed to be the approval of and the connection to the one fellowship that was already in existence. And that was clearly the work of the Spirit of God. And I believe it's a simple principle that we adhere to even unto this day. We had an incident that was very challenging, that was challenging this very principle in Malawi. One man decided he was going to start an assembly in his own house so he would not have to walk 15 minutes to the assembly, down to the meeting room. But the local assembly did not sanction this idea, as there were some concerns about this individual, some issues that concerned them. And so the man and the ones who went with him, they were given space to repent. However, like an heretic, he constrained some others from some nearby assemblies to join him. And he was remonstrated with by several brothers from several different assemblies for several months, but to no avail. They were admonished to return to the local assembly. But this man rebelled against the authority of the assembly and against the authority of the Lord Jesus, and he began to speak bad things about certain brothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The fellowship of the body of Christ belongs to Jesus Christ. The verse also says that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And that means He is the boss. He is the one who makes the rules. He is the one who has given us simple instructions in the apostles' doctrine, in the Word of God, for us to function as the local assembly gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And in the unity of the Spirit, the believers in one assembly of saints is in the same fellowship with assemblies in other locations who are gathered by the Spirit of God unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all practice the same way. And each and every assembly are all connected to Christ. And they are connected with each other. And there's no organization that has been established by man. It's all the work of the Spirit of God. It's the unity of the Spirit. It's not the unity of man. The Apostle Paul, he visited the assemblies of the church in many locations. And according to the unity of the Spirit, Paul taught the same doctrines and the practices in each and every assembly of the church as he traveled around. And the many gatherings of believers at the beginning of the church, they were in the same fellowship. There was only one fellowship, and this was all according to the unity of the Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 3 again. We have it up on the board. And this is the verse we've been talking about all evening, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It takes spiritual energy and diligence and effort and humility and meekness and love in order for us to keep the unity of the Spirit. The one body of Christ includes all believers that are living at this present time on the earth. Many different churches, many believers in them. But this does not mean that we go to a different church fellowship each Sunday to acknowledge that every Christian is a part of the body of Christ. The fellowship of the Lord's table belongs to the Lord Jesus. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and He is Lord. And we are required to be obedient to the will of the Lord Jesus. Christians should practice on the basis that there is only one fellowship for Christians. The Scriptures present only one fellowship. And so we need to act as best as we can as one body in fellowship with those that we are gathered with, that the Spirit of God has gathered us with. And it is necessary for us to practice as if we are in the one fellowship that the Spirit of God has established according to what we find in the Scriptures. If we practice these principles as if we are just one of many groups who are trying to do the right thing, we begin to deny the very principle upon which we gather. We say that we We say that we gather together on the basis that there is one body or one fellowship. But the Scriptures cannot condone any group to practice as if they are one of many groups that Jesus would accept as a testimony of the one body. Maybe I'm a little simple, but I cannot understand how God could condone two or more fellowships when Scripture teaches that there is only one. Scripture teaches that Christ is not divided. Jesus prayed to the Father just before he went to the cross. In John, let's look at that in John 17. John 17, down in verse 21. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The desire of the Lord Jesus is that we believers would be one in testimony to the world. But when the world looks at the church, what do they see? They see confusion. They see 40,000 divisions. The church is not a testimony of one to the world. But yet each believer is called and required to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, in Acts, back in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord, in this verse, is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God added new believers together to the church that was already in existence, that had begun on the day of Pentecost. He added the new believers together. The church is the body of Christ. And I believe the term body infers all believers together in one fellowship, one body. The church in this verse is the fellowship that had begun on the day of Pentecost. And when new believers, and when people were newly saved, the Spirit of God did not tell them to go to the church of their choice. He did not tell them to go to start their own church. He did not tell them to go to a Bible-believing church. They were added to the body of Christ, to the one fellowship that had begun on the day of Pentecost. And God had one fellowship for all believers. And when someone was saved, the Spirit of God had added them to the one fellowship. And so we are told to keep this unity of the Spirit. Back in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 19, we mentioned earlier a man in Malawi who was an heretic, still is. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Heresy is when a person or persons, they form a party of believers against the assembly. And they may promote an issue or a doctrine, or they may promote themselves. And they defend themselves, and they try to get others to accept their position or their teaching. And they try to garner support for their agenda. The Spirit of God does not ask us to manufacture unity. We either keep the unity of the Spirit or we don't. And the unity of the Spirit wants us all to be gathered together in that one fellowship. You may find two groups of believers who say they are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are not in practical fellowship together with each other. And you listen to both of their presentations, and they both sound right. And so what are you supposed to do? When the people of Berea, when they heard the teachings of Paul and Silas, they hadn't heard the Word of God quite like that before. And so they weren't quite sure what they should do. And so they went to the Scriptures to make sure that what they heard agreed in accordance with the Word of God. Let's look at that in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and down in verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to be careful that we don't look at the people involved, because our hearts might be attracted to one person because he's more personable and more likable than that other guy. But we need to be careful that we don't follow persons. We need to prayerfully look at Scripture and find out what is the Spirit of God telling you. The Spirit of God gathers us according to the Word of God and in the unity of the Spirit. Let's sing hymn number 327. And I'll read verse 5. And soon shall come that glorious day when seated on thy throne thou shalt to wondering worlds display that we with thee are one. So, could someone start this, please? 327.
Yeah.
I like it in this hymn that in the first verse it says, Lord Jesus, we are one with Thee. We are, there is one body. There's truth, we are one. And the body is one with Christ. But at the end of the hymn in verse 5, Thou shalt to wondering worlds display that we with Thee are one. At that time when the Lord Jesus comes back, the world will see that all the believers are together. They are one with Christ. We have perhaps not done a very good job of being that witness of one to the world. But in that day, the world will know and they will see that we are one with Christ. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give thanks for the Spirit of God. We give thanks that we've been brought into the fellowship of the body of Christ. And we just ask that we would be able to live and function circumspectly and to be at peace one with another. We just ask for help and just trust that some of these thoughts have been helpful for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.